All right, Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, Scott Daly's going to be here from filmfeverradio.com, and we'll have Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran from Clerks and Clerks 2, which is going to be released again later this summer. I think it is also in August. I'm not going to swear to that, but I think it's at some time in August. So we will get that. Let's see. We've got a couple of these emails to get to. We'll get to these calls. We've got more from the City Desk coming up. Rick, did you really link to a bunch of furries on your website this morning? Excuse me while I scrub out my brain. God damn you. No, I didn't. And I'm not really sure what you're looking at. I have no idea what you're looking at. It wasn't me, brother. Not that we haven't posted them in the past. That was not me. Not this morning, anyway. Rick. Hey, just a question. Does your new producer also attend therapy? And if so, does she also have a hot therapist? I am missing your inquiries of sweet, sweet woman-on-woman therapy. Woman-on-woman therapy. There you go. Now, it would be, at this point in our relationship, I believe it would be inappropriate for me to press Christian about whether or not she's in therapy. That's probably a boundary that I don't know that we would.
It is her last day here.
Seriously.
We may need her services again.
Yeah, we got another 2 hours where we need her to run the show. Let's see. Let me take these calls. I got all this crap to get. I got this late email from Tallboy Shotgun, who were one of the bands last night. I went to the Hawthorne Theater. Primarily, I was originally going to go there to see Nicodemus play. I got the best email this morning from a guy who wanted to know if I was going to see a band called Naked Imus, which is fantastic. It was not Naked Imus. There was a band called Nicodemus. There really ought to be a band called Naked Imus, though. I'm telling you right now. I mean, I can already picture the logo in my head, and it's fighting side by side with the looming face of Kevin Federline.
Just a skeleton hanging onto a condo with a big wig.
Seriously, just a skeleton propped up with Chuck McGorgon. That's right, I-Man, in the corner, just like over and over again. What was I saying? So Nicodemus came out, and they were shooting everything, but they were doing they're filming a DVD for their. The Belgian fans or whatever it is. So they were there shooting a DVD and they were great. It's not really my style of metal. It's a little too, it's a little too 9 minutes, long and with big like orchestral breaks. And they all kind of sound like really fast versions of Kashmir. And it's not my thing, but they were really good. They were great live though and a great performance. And, I'm a big fan of the guys in the band. And then there was some band came called Resistor that came on. I don't know about them. But then Tallboy Shotgun came on, who I wasn't really familiar with because I was pretty much there to see Nicodemus and then Stone Creep, who they were the headliner. And the Tallboy Shotgun guys are great because they just have that. Some bands just have that vibe where you feel like at any moment they might just leap off the stage and just begin stabbing people in the eyes for no reason. You know what I mean? Do you know those guys?
Yeah.
Kristen?
Yes.
And so, I'm sure that they're fine people, but maybe not. You never really know. It is one of those bands where you get the feeling that the odds are pretty good you could walk out back later and one of them's going to be in a van with your mom or something. You know what I mean? It's just, which I'm sure that they would love to hear. I'm sure the band would be happy to know that. They were great, though. So I've got this email from one of the guys. This is from Adam in Tallboy Shotgun, which is filled with profanity and clearly written while drunk, by the way. Because it's in all caps, first of all. Everything has 8 exclamation marks after it, and it's incredibly profane.
Don't the new indecency laws go into effect immediately?
Yes, but I'm... Thank you, Tim. No, but I'm going to edit it as I'm reading, what I'm saying. Okay. Rick... All caps. Hey, man! All caps. I couldn't help but notice that we have exactly the same logo, which is an upside-down star with a circular band-containing name. I swear I didn't steal it. I heard something on the show today about a show with Nicodemus, blah, 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 blah. And then it just degenerates into nothing but effing, effing, effing something, effing beers. We're tight as S. We rock our blanks off on stage. Something about unzipping something. And then he says, long live, the show, blah, 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 Adam. But anyway, so they were really good. So those guys were great. And then, Stone Creep came out, and they were fantastic, as I knew they would be, because I've heard a couple other CDs. And they were, and I'm not getting paid to pimp any of this, by the way. It's not that. I'm just telling you, like, if you want to, Stone Creep felt, it was going to melt my face off, man. Those guys were really intense and really good. And the best part is, this is the whole point of this story, is that the guy, Matt, who was singing for Stone Creep, guess what he was wearing? Guess what T-shirt he was wearing, Tim Riley? He was wearing the Tim Riley Claudius shirt from, like, 5 years ago.
You're kidding.
No, and I don't even have one of those.
That was back in the days when a hamburger was named after.
Yeah, this is, for those of you who don't remember, there's a place called Claudius on Hawthorne where there was, because Tim is a vegan, and so we had this, there was this hamburger. It was literally, it was like a half pound of hamburger plus ham plus an egg plus, I think, fries and like four strips of cheese.
Nothing I could actually eat.
Nothing that Tim could actually eat or even look at or be in the same room with. And it's like you had to go in and you had to say, it wasn't on the menu. It was like a code. You know, it was like when you go to the speakeasy and you go like, the fat man has landed, the eagle walks alone. And they let you in. It was like you would have to go and go, give it to Tim Riley. And they would give you to Tim Riley and then a T-shirt. So there was only like 200 of them ever made. And I don't even have one. Oh, and it had bacon on it. Thank you, Scotty. But he comes out, Stone Creek comes out to play. Bam, guy in the shirt.
Wow, I'm honored.
So, no, it was fantastic. And they were great. All right, we should do these calls before we do anything else. Erica, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hello, Rick. How are you?
I'm adorable. How are you?
I'm absolutely 100% more adorable.
Well, thanks.
You need your Brady Bunch knowledge, okay?
So first you're going to insult me, and then you're going to use my intelligence for something.
Well, I've been holding for 28 minutes!
Oh, please. We've all got problems.
It's a popular program.
I didn't slit my wrist while you guys were going on and on about Britney. That's something, isn't it?
All right, really, you're not endearing yourself to me. Your tote board is falling.
I'm sorry. I am sorry. I need to know because I've got a huge bet riding on this. It's huge, Rick. It's important.
What is the actual bet?
The actual bet is it's between my fiance, and the bet is whoever, if he wins.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna bleep that. So let me rephrase this. And I don't even want to know the other half because God only knows what I'd have to rephrase that as. So you are betting an intimate act, which he is desirous of, which you have resisted. Let's put it that way.
That would be correct.
Okay, let's put it that way. So he. But attention advertisers, you too can reach this prime demographic. All right, so the bet is an intimate act of some kind. All right, what is the actual question?
Okay, the actual question is this.
Really, and just let me pause for a moment to say that it really does stagger the mind that you are using that as a as like the actual. We bet with push-ups here, and I thought we were being edgy. All right.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a whole new level of.
I guess that's sort of a push-up. All right. What is the actual question?
Okay, here is the question.
Love of God.
He claims that on the Brady Bunch, there were two brothers, Chinese brothers named Dwayne and Steve.
Two Chinese brothers? Do you mean like as part of the Brady family?
Only in the way that the Brady family let them stay in their house a couple of days while they were being adopted by the Brady family's white friends down the street.
Are you... I'm pretty sure that he's... Okay, no, wait, hold on. Who claims that this is the case? Your boyfriend?
Yes.
What is his name?
His name is Steve.
Okay, Steve is high and deeply stupid and doesn't know what... and is unworthy of your love. I'm guessing. Hold on. I'm going to put... Okay, so do me this
there
way.
There cannot be. There were no right, just, Dwayne and Steve. There were no right, Chinese just, people on the show,
well,
ever.
That's what I thought. I don't even... I mean...
Were there any black people on this show,
I don't believe that's the case.
Does anybody even
remember anybody who was non-white appearing on the Brady Bunch?
And what did Carol do all day?
All right, let's have let's have one of us be the talk show host and one of us be the caller. So, I guess... Although, did you ever notice this? Did you ever notice that Ernie on My Three Sons looked vaguely Asian? Like, if you just caught him, like, if he didn't look too close, like, if you were just sort of looking in your peripheral vision, and Ernie on My Three Sons would come out with the, you know, he was the one with the horn-rimmed glasses. Like, and
I don't know who that is.
No, he was the one who was going, hey, Uncle Charlie. Hey, Chip and I are going to go to the store. Hey, Uncle Charlie.
I wasn't born yet.
Well... Okay.
So, go to the reruns.
Jesus God. All right, Erica, I'm going to put you on hold. Just stay there.
Okay.
You'll stay there and like it. All right, don't go anywhere. All right, stay right there. Jesus God.
I don't think so.
About the question?
Yeah.
I'm just still reeling with what they're using as a betting increment.
She'll be lucky if she gets a peck on the cheek by the time we get this answer.
Yes, it is true. I was going to make a crude comment there, but I felt it was best not to. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. So we do have an answer to this, by the way. I was going to get things done. Dan, we were going to give hard news here. We were going to talk about the national deficit. We were going to talk about NAFTA here, the GATT treaty. Didn't really happen. All right, let's. We do have an answer here. All right, before. Hey, John.
Yeah.
Okay, John in the beef. Now, before, don't give the answer yet, but do you have the definitive answer to this?
Well, she has a loophole.
I'm sorry.
I have a definitive answer.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were talking about the bet again.
Right. Well, no. I wish I was on hold when she gave the betting.
The betting increment.
Yeah.
The act that they are betting with a. Let's see. Erica and her boyfriend, what was his name, Steve? Yeah, Steve. Erica and Steve were betting about this happening on the Brady Bunch. And if Steve is correct, then Steve will be able to engage in an act with Erica. When a man and woman love each other very much. They often hug each other in a special way. And this is a very, very special type of hugging that many men ask for and many women resist giving. I believe we all know what I'm talking about.
I can picture several things.
Let's all stop and do it now. Wait, hold on. Good times. Okay, I'm done picturing. I'll picture more later during the break.
I need to go home and call my wife now.
Feel so dirty.
This is all so awkward. All right, so what do you mean she has a loophole?
Well, from what she said...
Please to be resisting any puns there. Yes, what do you mean?
Her boyfriend said that it was two Asian kids, Dwayne and Steve.
This whole thing is so wrong in so many ways. We're sitting here talking about the racial makeup of the Brady neighborhood and loopholes. All right, so just hold on. Since this has now taken over the entire this should go back to the goddamn mystery sound. Okay,
I know the
John,
answer.
Stay there. Kristen is already saying she knows the answer. Okay, Erica?
Yes.
Okay, now I want you just to listen here. Now John is going to lay some stuff out. But before we do that, Erica, would you please just one more time restate here for the record the actual question that you and your boyfriend are betting about on the Brady Bunch?
All right, Rick.
As Tom Likas would say, if you were listening to another radio station, if you were listening to Lars Larson, would he be able to help you with this?
No, Rick.
No?
I would not call Lars for this answer.
Would you call him for any reason?
No, Rick, I would not.
All right. Would you listen to Lars if your life depended on it?
Actually, I kind of do listen to Lars, but only...
Okay, this is like the fourth thing you've done This is the fourth thing you've done during this call to alienate the man who is your ally here.
But you know what? I'm like part of you guys, but I'm not, because I'm all suburbanized, but I'm in the demographics that...
I live in the suburbs and come in here every day.
But you ride your bike and I don't. I ride a fuel efficiency car, drive it, but, you know.
I ride the Max like the people.
All right. All right. You don't talk so much, Erica. Give us the actual specific question.
Okay, the actual specific question is this. Dwayne and Steve were Chinese brothers that the Bradys hosted in their house.
Dwayne
in their
Steve?
House.
Okay. Are they from Beaverton, China? Or, okay.
Well, they were Asian. You know, they weren't white. So,
all right.
I don't know. And the Bradys
they didn't look like me. All right. And they lived. So Dwayne and Steve, who were two Asian boys, lived with this sounds like the beginning of some
Maybe
horrific
they
joke.
Were twins.
Okay, let's
I think they were twins.
Okay. So Dwayne and Steve, who may or may not have been twins, were Asian boys who lived with the Bradys while waiting to be adopted by another white family.
Yes, but only for a very short while.
That is your boyfriend's claim, and you are disputing that this happened.
He's much older than I am, so he got the Brady Bunch as it was first coming out.
Do you realize how long we've spent on this question right now?
How long do you think I've spent agonizing over this question? I've tried to research this. I can't find the damn answer anywhere, Rick. It's killing me. I got to have an answer for him. Yeah. Otherwise,
all right,
by default, he automatically gets it.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes. All right. just not even. Let's just get off that off ramp right now. All right. All right. So, okay. So we, so John?
Yes.
All right. Now, do you have the definitive answer on this?
Yes.
Okay. What is the answer, John?
Dwayne was black because Dwayne is a black name. Steve.
This is John, by the way, making this rash generalization.
No, because
this was the Brady Bunch. This was the Brady Bunch. It was a very special episode about racial equality and okay. diversity in the family. So Dwayne was black. Steve was Asian.
As all people named Dwayne are. Okay.
Exactly.
And, okay. And Steve was Asian?
Steve was Asian.
As all... Name Steve
as... orphanage together.
All right. So Steve is from Asia, as all men named Steve apparently are. Okay.
And they lived in the same orphanage together and were being... Well, one of them was being adopted. Well, actually, there was a third kid. I don't remember.
You don't know what you're talking about, do you? You are making...
I totally know. Listen,
my Steve to win.
You are talking to the Brady Bunch.
All right, Erica,
we're talking to the Brady Bunch master, okay?
Oh, clearly not. Okay, so...
So there was a white kid they were adopting. Dwayne and Steve were the black and Asian kids who lived in the orphanage with him. And the three boys were all so...
I remember this.
It was in the last season.
I remember this, and I totally remember this. Okay,
so the
very
yes.
white family chose to adopt
all three of them.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
All right. So let's all stop here. So I remember this. Okay, so here's because there's like nine people talking at once. Here's okay. Here to recap, I do remember this. Here's what it is. Yes, okay. And it's totally a 70s object lesson in cultural sensitivity. White couple is going to adopt the white child because that's the way they were brought up, to adopt children that look like them and talk like them. The white kid, meanwhile, has been living in an orphanage with his black friend and his Asian friend. The white family at the end doesn't want to split the kids up because they learn that friendship and family transcend all boundaries. And it's not about what you look like on the outside. It's about who you are on the inside. And so the white family ends up adopting all three kids, and there's like a whole Colors of Benetton thing going on.
And it's Rick, a very special episode.
All right. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, John. Okay. Hey, pipe down, sister. All right. So, John, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, John.
The loophole is that he's totally wrong.
All right. John, I appreciate you weighing in. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right. Letting you go now. All right. Erica, are you there?
I am here.
All right. So now... I believe that your boyfriend is wrong because he said two Asian kids, and in no variation of the story is there two Asian kids.
That's fabulous. That's
okay,
fabulous.
Now, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. All right?
Okay.
Okay, don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you on hold.
I wonder if he gets a consolation
prize. No. Don't, yeah, because I'm going to find out. Now, I'm going to pick it up off the air here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now picking up the phone.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it line two?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's line two.
I think it is.
Hey,
yeah.
Erica? Okay, now, this is off the air, right, Kristen?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, I want you to, now, please still to be keeping it clean. Now, you know what, do you get now because you won the bet?
Probably like microwave popcorn or something.
Jiffy popcorn?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay, this sounds very involved.
Oh, really? That's fascinating.
Oh, good.
Dead air.
No.
But?
No, that's gripping. All right. Okay. No, I got it. Okay. That's so great. Okay. I got to go, but thank you, Erica.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Okay.
This is compelling. That's,
no, it's gripping radio.
It is.
This is the sort of behind-the-scenes access that... Okay, there we go. So, do you know what? Here's the punchline of the whole thing, by the way. After that whole bet, agonizing over that entire thing, the punchline is because she won the bet... She, of course, let's all say it together now in manner of every sitcom known to man, she wins the same thing that he was going to win if he'd been right. Okay. Now some scenes from next week's show. This is the Rick Emerson Show. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Let's, for the love of God, we'll come back with Kyle, who's got Spider-Man information. Our own F. Matt Peterson, a former executive producer of the Rick Emerson Show, weighs in with, I swear to God, it says this, Hooters and Britney info. Good times. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. All right, by the way, I want to note that, this is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio and stuff. Also this, so we've got John who just answered the Brady. Now he's all pissed off. Damn it, Rick, are you serious? I gave up my vast Brady expertise on that crap, quote, bet, end quote. Give me a break. Signed, John, Brady Master in the Beeve. Boy, that sounds really, that really does sound like something else. What are you? I'm a Brady Master in the Beeve.
I guess if he really wants a title.
Yeah, seriously. if you're just desperate to be known as something. Rick, who are you fooling? Even if you had 8 hours a day, you'd still not get everything done. Ha, 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 ha. It's Dan from New Zealand. All right. Rick, about this bet, is it like the back of a Volkswagen? Yes. Yes, it is. Well, well referenced, sir. It's 503-733-2-970 and so forth. That's good. See, you know, that's an especially great reference because that's also a backhanded, so to speak, backhanded Kevin Smith reference. Which reminds me that Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran are coming up next hour from Clerks 2. All right. For the love of God. All right. Just going to stop and reset. We got Ed McCarthy. We got Matt and Kyle, who's we've just got. Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. Let's welcome now from Atlanta, Georgia, CNN radio correspondent and man of the world, Ed McCarthy. Ed, how are you, sir?
Hey, Rick. I missed you this week. I heard that you guys were looking for me, and I said, well, heck, I was just driving back from a tropical storm. I could have talked to him, you know?
I think God was trying to kill you. While we were, you know, looking for you, I think you were on the road fighting for your life with a hurricane or something.
Well, on the way down, I was.
Oh, I see.
Here's
where we're running a little crunchy here. We're a little behind time, but I wanted to get some things done. How would you feel about taking some Rick Emerson Show calls with me, Ed?
Why, certainly.
All right, this is Ed McCarthy staying with us as we welcome Kyle to the Rick Emerson Show with Spider-Man information. Kyle, how can I help you today?
Hey, Rick. Hey, I don't care what Dan says. You guys are very factual and accurate in your news and your opinion.
Thank you. Say hello to Ed McCarthy from CNN.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right, what is your Spider-Man info?
I have it on good authority in the next issue of Spider-Man. Well, I heard it on the news. He removed his mask.
We did this yesterday.
All right. Old news is so exciting.
Old news? I just heard it yesterday.
Yeah, the comic is already out. It's already in the stands, I think. We saw pictures of it yesterday.
That was our top story.
We led with it yesterday and talked about it for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I asked Scotty if he talked about it. And
he was in a pace car.
Scotty was in a car like 20 miles away, rocketing around a track at 180 miles an hour with no radio.
Fantastic.
All right. Well done, Kyle. Glad
hey,
you
thanks.
Glad you helped for that.
Thanks for the contribution.
No, but thank you anyway. No, it is the thought that counts, Kyle. We appreciate you attempting to be the bearer of news. That does mean a lot to us.
Thank you.
All right.
He sounds let down.
He sounds so broken. He sounds so defeated. Oh, and he hung up. The spark has gone out of Kyle's eyes. Well, all right. Ed, let's get one more here. Ed?
Yeah.
All right, just making sure you too had not been broken and run away.
Oh, no.
All right, former executive producer of the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend F. Matt Peterson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
It's one of the, you know, dude, you know, you produce this show, you know, I'm behind, you know.
You were completely derailed today.
Yes, it's true.
20 minutes about Volkswagens.
It's true.
Really killed you.
It really is true. What's up with you?
How are you, Ed?
I'm great. How you doing?
Not too bad. Long time no talk.
That's right, I know.
Let's all hug.
Well, okay. So, two things. One, first of all, I got to defend myself on the Hooters thing. It was never me trying to drag you to Hooters. It was Squid that I always went with.
Uh-huh.
But
I'm
a willing participant in going, yeah. And you didn't go because you were afraid of your wife.
Honey, I didn't want to go. The guys made me go, honey. I didn't. Oh, yeah. All right. Whatever.
I didn't even know they sold champagne there.
I had no idea, honey. I thought it was, I thought it was a museum of some kind. Okay.
And the second thing on the Britney Watch theme.
Yes.
The Britney Watch theme actually came about. You found the song, brought it in, and said you have to hear this. Listen to the way Britney moans in the second half of it.
It is. It's because she does kind of an ow thing.
Yeah, she does the little moan. Yeah. And as soon as you heard that moan, you made me change the theme to that. And that had to be the Britney Watch theme from that time forward.
Because I really am just an idiot man. At the end of the day, the bottom line is I'm just a dumb guy. No,
pretty much.
All right.
That's why we love you.
All right. Thank you, Matt. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Bye, Matt.
See you later.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, F. Matt Peterson. There he goes into the night. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Hi, Ed. How's your day going?
It's going great.
You staying on task today and getting lots of things done? I'm not.
No, well, you know, it's over. The day is over, so I'm happy.
Fantastic. The day is over, and yet you still find time to call into, you know, with the Rick.
Of course.
Hey, let's, speaking of Hooters, listen to this genius segue. Matt was just talking about Hooters. Now, is it, let me ask you this. Is it true, or is it an urban legend in the making, that somebody was blowing their FEMA Katrina money on a sex change operation?
Well, yeah, that's true.
How,
a few other things.
How do you pay for a sex change operation with FEMA bucks?
I don't know. It mustn't have been much if it was $200. What did they get? $2,000, though, didn't they?
What kind of a sex change can you get for $2,000? Is that just a guy with a gun?
Probably so.
Maybe they're offered at Hooters.
Yeah, seriously. You get that if you buy three packets of wings, you get that free.
That's it, yeah.
So are they going to track all these people down and make them give the money back?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I would certainly hope so. Apparently this bottle of champagne, which I never even knew they sold champagne.
I didn't either. My producer this week, Kristen Bowie, apparently is an aficionado of Hooters. And she weighed in with that.
Yeah, you have to wonder.
All of a sudden, I'm like the Hooters expert.
I'm just saying, you know more about it than I do, sister.
Yeah, I know they can go for the crab legs, but I didn't know you could get the Dom Perignon.
Apparently. But the guy from Hooters, he clearly knows a good publicity stunt when he sees one, because he's in the news now going, I'll give it back.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the guy is really no dummy. Well, of course, his airline didn't make it.
Right.
You know, they kind of packed that in. But during Katrina, right after Katrina, he sent one of those Hooters planes down, filled with all kinds of supplies and everything to help out. So, you know, he did his thing, and he feels bad. But of course, he's, you know, for $200, he's getting a lot of publicity.
Seriously,
out of
no. I mean, look, Hooters really is America. It really is. You know, it's like hot chicks, tight clothing, greasy food, beer. Apparently, the guy knows how to get publicity. I mean, it's just it really kind of is everything about this country just rolled into one. You know. You got to admire that. Really, in a way, it's perfectly appropriate and fitting that they spent their FEMA money at Hooters.
And fitting. And when you say fitting, you mean that, don't you?
I do. God bless them. All right. Well, what can you do? And just as a side note here, you're talking about this quarterback from the Steelers?
Yeah, Roethlisberger.
Yeah, and he about snuffed it because he was riding his motorcycle with no helmet.
Oh.
Is it true they let him out of the hospital?
They let him out of the hospital in the dark of night. Actually, he was supposed to come out today, and he got out last night.
He didn't seem like the sharpest tool in the shed.
Well, you know, you never know. I mean, at that age, you know, and you've got a lot of money, and, you know, sometimes you just feel like you're invincible, I guess.
Yeah, well.
I've never had a lot of money, so I never felt invincible. But anyway, that's how it goes. You know, it's the funniest thing. And, you know, that statement that he came out with. Don't think he wrote it, do you?
No, there's a lot of big words in there. And I mean, even before...
Was that the first clue?
I mean, yeah, even before the motorcycle accident, he did not seem like the brightest bulb. No, so... Well, all right. Well, that's you know, that's sort of when Darwin swings and misses. You know, that's that guy.
I'll wear a helmet next time. I promise. I'm sorry. I want to apologize to the fans.
Exactly.
And I'll be at minicamp.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Enjoy your weekend, Ed. We will talk to you next week, my friend.
You betcha.
All right. There you
Take
go.
Take care, Rick.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Ed McCarthy. I love that guy. Did we lose Matt number two? Oh, listen to that. Matt number two, listen to this. Matt number two waited on hold this whole time. He thought he knew the mystery sound. And then I went to him, gone. As Jeffrey Tambor would say, I was coming to bring you back. And now he's gone. All right. Kristen, for the love of God, what do we have to do here? We've got a city desk. We've got the top five. We've got like 50 breaks to do. We got the clerks guys coming in. This is where your money really, really pays off. What should we do here? Should I do something else or should we break?
I think
choose and perish.
I think we should break now, and then that we'll have a little more time when we get back.
Tim, how do you feel about that? Do you concur?
I second that move. Yes.
Fantastic. All in favor?
I think that's sensible.
Yeah. Okay, we're on break here. Come back here. We got the Kristen Bowie's top five musical acts of all time. Tim Riley at the City Desk. Stuff and things as well. Okay. Later on, Jeff Anderson, Brian O'Halloran from Clerks 2. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. All right. Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. 503-733-2970. The people are confused. Now, see, the people are still emailing about the Brady Bunch thing, and they're wrong. They're confusing Louie and Hector, whatever, Dwayne and Steve. With Cousin Oliver. The two entirely different pop culture references. It's the easy guy who goes for the Cousin Oliver is the easy reference. That's the low-hanging fruit of look at my pop culture knowledge. If you really want to impress people, you bust out this Dwayne Steve knowledge. You do that the next party. That'll impress the chicks. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what we're going to do. We'll take this one call. Then we will go to the top five. Then we will probably break. Then we'll come back with the City Desk and Tim Riley. After that, we'll be welcomed. They'll be welcomed. We'll be welcoming. I'm sorry. I have the cup of coffee here, but I haven't had a chance to consume it yet. It's just sitting there mocking me, as inanimate objects sometimes do.
People will visit the program.
People visit the program. Tim is sort of the training wheels for me sometimes, where I get off course and he's right there to prop me up. Tim is sort of there's another thing. See, I don't even have an analogy. He's like the thing that holds up the other thing. Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran from Clerks 2. They pay me to do this. Let's get this phone call. Is this, Matt?
Yeah, Rick.
Hi, Matt. How can I help you today?
I think I got your answer.
For?
For the mystery sound.
Are you, really?
I hope so.
Is this what you're calling?
In my mind all week.
It has been in your mind. What else do you have in your life? Do you have a girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, I got one of those, but I don't think about her.
How sad. How sad that this has been what... I mean, how great for us. I guess sad for everybody that's not us. Really, do you have children?
No.
Okay, do you have a job?
Yes, I do. A good one.
Okay, you have a job. Do you have family members that you care about?
It depends on which ones.
Okay, do you have hobbies, pursuits?
Too many.
And yet, what have you been thinking about all week?
This damn sound.
The mystery sound. All right. The mystery sound, and again, just to give the briefest of recaps, this was not a thing that I intended to last forever. This really was meant to be a one-day, one-segment contest, which is now stretching into its third week. It really was just this sound that I found. It is a found sound. It's not a sound we've made up. It's an actual object that made this sound that we recorded that I was going to do in like a wacky sort of, hey, let's kind of give this away, and then nobody knows it. All right, what do you think the mystery sound is?
I think it's one of those rocking, when you're a baby, they put you in one of those things that self-rock, and you have to wind it up.
You believe the mystery sound is a self-rocking wind-up crib?
Chair. You know, it swings back and forth.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know, that's a really good guess.
But it's not it.
Totally wrong. Completely wrong. You couldn't be more wrong if you were Prince Wrong of Wrongonia.
Back to the drawing board.
Yes. Does this mean that your next week is going to be screwed too?
Nope.
Like your wife's going to be, we haven't made love. And I'm thinking of the mystery sound.
Nope, because that's the only one I didn't hear that I thought it was.
You'll think of something. See, you know what's going to happen? Here, let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me tell you about a little thing called the subliminal mind. You're going to be sitting there tonight, perhaps staring at the ceiling, perhaps trying to enjoy a moment of tenderness with someone close to you. You're going to be there trying to enjoy life, trying to enjoy the fruits of your work. And this little sound is going to be going through your mind, haunting you, like the beating of the telltale heart.
Maybe after beer 12.
Yeah, all right. Okay, thank
it
you,
is
Matt.
Friday.
All right, enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. Let's do the top five, shall we? Is your top five for Friday right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Here. Counting is wonderful.
Counting is marvelous.
Counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy.
I love to count, don't you?
All right, as she moves on today, we've got Kristen Bowie, who has been filling in ably for Sarah Dillon, her top five musical acts of all time. Tim Riley?
As she prepares to depart the best temp job she could ever have, the producer of the Rick Emerson Show for the lonely solo boredom of card reading at a music station. Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course.
No, of course
Kristen
not.
Bowie does something she could never do as a disc jockey. Count down her own top five songs of all time.
Fantastic. These are Kristen Bowie's top five musical acts of all time.
With honorable mention are the Flaming Lips, She Doesn't Use Jelly.
Oh, yeah.
I love this song. I've loved it since it came out, and it was their only hit.
Yeah. These guys have got a huge cult following, don't they? The kids love them.
I adore this band.
Really? They, what's his name from this band was on Dinner for Five a while back.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Because they made a movie. It was like the Flaming Lips on Mars or something.
They're all over MySpace, too.
Really? They seem like one of those bands. Flaming, I know a guy. He's in a band.
I mean, come on. He's talking about Vaseline on toast. How can that not be great?
How indeed, Kristen. How indeed. This is how you are different from me right here, this song. Okay. No, these guys are sort of like the, they remind me a little bit of like the They Might Be Giants and all that kind of a, sort of whacktastic.
Definitely.
Know? Yeah. It's all very strange. Okay. Are these your top five songs or top five artists?
Top five. Flaming Lips is honorable mention.
Oh, for artists or songs, though?
Artists.
Okay. So these are kind of the Christian Boy's top five artists of all time. Let's go ahead and cue up the... I know a guy. Mm-hmm. I just keep doing this. I saw Beavis and Butthead do that once, and now it's what I want to do every time I hear that song. Counting down these top five. Tim Riley.
At number five, it's Dick Dale and the Deftones.
Really?
Mr. I.O.U.
Dick Dale.
I can't even tap my finger this fast.
No. Is this guy still alive, isn't he?
I think so.
Didn't he play? Because, you know, he had all that resurrection in the 90s with, you know, they were using him in lots of films. Not just Tarantino, but lots of movies.
He became a political activist after he lost his leg.
What?
He hurt his leg swimming in the ocean and the water was polluted, so...
He lost his leg?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of the way you want to go if you're Dick Dale, though. Lose it while in the ocean. I mean, that's how you, you know.
Definitely.
He should go being eaten by a shark. Really, that I think he'd be okay with it. I think Dick Dale would be fine being taken down by a man-eater. That's kind of the way that this guy should go.
I'm a big fan of surf music.
See, and it's not that I'm opposed to it, but I do get into that old person mode where it all kind of sounds the same to me. Like, there's this band Deadbolt that I'm kind of a casual fan of, but it's like after three Deadbolt songs, it's like three George Thorogood songs. They all start to blend together to me after a while. You can't knock this song, though.
This is... I mean, you just can't touch it.
And, I mean, for whatever it's worth, the guy pretty much created a whole genre of music.
Definitely.
I mean, there was, like, before Dick Dale and after Dick Dale. Fantastic. All right, let us now prepare the next cut as we count down Kristen Bowie's top five musical acts of all time.
She certainly has eclectic tastes. At number four, it's the Sex Pistols and God Save the Queen.
God bless you. I find, the audience will testify to this, I find any excuse to play this song in the air. We just played this a couple weeks ago. We did the top five acts, top five songs that were hits despite radio bans on their airplay. That's, and this was on here.
I mean, how can you not pick a band that is ignored by an entire country?
And still goes number one.
Yeah, they started a war with the country without even really meaning to.
Totally.
They were the Dixie Chicks of their time.
They really were.
I was thinking of that when I picked this.
And Johnny Rotten is one of the greatest frontmen in all of any... I missed it. I think he rolls that R. You know, he says they made you, you know, moron, and he rolled. I mean, he's got so much style. And there's this big myth that they always spread about punk, this cliche you always hear, is that, well, the punk bands couldn't really play, which is a bunch of crap. They didn't play the way that, like, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer plays. They didn't play the way that Led Zeppelin played. But, I mean, this is... People don't give the Sex Pistols enough credit for writing really melodic, punchy pop songs, which I say is a compliment.
Definitely.
Such a great song, and it doesn't have the slightest bit dated.
I don't think it'll ever go out of date.
No, and it still sounds... I mean, I listened to Anarchy in the UK the other day, and it's just so great. So, such a beautiful song in its own kind of ugly way.
Definitely.
And there's that great moment in The Filth and the Fury. It gives me chills every time I watch it, the documentary, where they're talking to Johnny Rotten about this, and he says, you know, you people always slagged us for... They said that we were, you know, criticizing the country. He said, you don't write a song like God Save the Queen because you hate your country. You write it because you love your country.
Oh, that's so true. I love how they also snubbed the Rock and Roll
Hall. Oh, yeah, with a big, like, yes. F off. Yeah.
They wrote this letter on their website. Did you read
it? It was all backwards. It was all written all wrong and everything. Yeah.
Every other word's misspelled. I think they misspelled and.
Yeah. Fantastic. Produced so well, too. Counting down Kristen Bowie's top five musical acts of all time.
At number three, it's Queen with Bicycle Race.
This is fantastic.
Especially for a youngster. Yeah.
Really? For a young... But you're 23?
Yes.
I know that I sound freaking old, but what are you going to do? This is fantastic. Because sometimes... I feel like a lot of classic rock skipped a generation where it was really, really, I feel like the, you're a little bit young, I guess, to be the grunge generation, but I was right there, man, at the beginning of grunge and that whole hideous movement, which is thankfully gone, and there was this real sense of ignoring a whole section of classic rock. Because all the grunge bands would pay tribute to a lot of 60s acts, and then they would skip over everything existed in the 70s, and then they
got all the pop punk coming out.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it was so cool for a while to snub and to, you know, to snub Kiss or Queen or Zeppelin or Alice Cooper or Black Sabbath for a long time.
My dad was actually an old school punk rocker, so I grew up with all the good rock music.
This gives me hope, it really does.
And plus, male falsettos are just sexy.
And Freddie Mercury's among the best frontmen who ever lived.
Definitely.
I miss that guy
every day.
I miss him. Counting down the top five musical acts of all time in the opinion of Christian Bowie, Tim Riley.
Number two, Led Zeppelin, Dazed and Confused.
This is the best list ever.
Listen to that voice.
I'm just going to quit and you can do the show. You and I got like this, except for the Flaming Lips aberration. You guys, we got the same taste going on here.
I love the fact that Willie Dixon actually sued these guys.
Totally. Boy, Robert Plant, man. What can you say about that guy? A golden god he was and is. I remember hearing this when I was a kid and just that, you know, and that line when he went, you know, send you the bill, and it was like the loudest thing I'd ever heard. It's like music straight from the bowels of hell, which is great when you're like 15. You're like, yeah, right here. When they just... Come on, that's the best goddamn thing you've ever heard.
I love it.
Fantastic. All right. Okay, we are now counting down to number one on the list of...
You're going to make fun of this one.
Yeah, well. That's okay. You've already... Doesn't matter. Number one could be Albanian apple-picking music. Doesn't matter. I'm already sold.
Number one, Albanian apple-picking music, though. Number one is the Beatles with I Am the Walrus.
Well, what are you going to do to the Beatles?
Yeah, I mean...
What can you do?
I had to recognize them.
Yeah. No, I...
And this is my favorite tune. I actually have the original 45 of this.
Really?
Yes.
I remember Oasis, their whole thing for covering this song is they said they wanted to find the one Beatles song that no one would ever play live. They're like, what is the most unlikely Beatles song ever to play live except for Revolution Number 9? And they're like, I Am the Walrus, let's do it! I'm not like the world's biggest Beatles fan. I don't dislike them, but I just didn't discover them until later in life.
I don't like early Beatles. It's later.
And I really only like early Beatles.
Oh.
Like, as soon when, like to me, like, She Loves You is, that's as good as it ever got,
like
right there.
I like it when they started doing drugs and they got a little crazier.
And there's that big split. All my friends are like, my friend Joni's like that. She's like, as soon as they started dropping acid and the songs were, you know, longer and orchestral, she loved them. And there's nothing wrong with this. It's a fine song. For me, I'm just so much, though, about the raw, loud, screamy Beatles of the early whatever. But this is the Beatles, though. What could I possibly say to...
I mean, there is no way I couldn't have recognized them in somehow.
No. I mean, it's like Paul McCartney was... People were criticizing the White Album for not being flawless. And Paul McCartney finally, somebody named him, he goes, it's the White Album. Shut up. you didn't write it. You know?
I mean, I'm not the one who had over 40 hits, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's what can I possibly say to take away from the Beatles? They're the most influential act of all time, period. Period.
And I'll never get sick of this album.
No.
Ever.
No. Good stuff.
She's a real rock and roll DJ.
You really are. You really are an actual rock and roll DJ. That's impressive in this day and age. It really is.
And you were scared.
I wasn't scared, but I mean, I had no idea. I thought it was going to be a lot of hideous alterna rock. All right. Well, there you go. Good times. All right. We should break here.
Yes.
We'll break. We'll come back. We'll do a few news stories. And then Jeff Anderson, Brian, I feel so revitalized. I feel like I could just go take on the world now.
I'm confident in the youth of America, this generation.
I do.
I do
feel like it is morning in America. All right. Okay. Good times. I don't even want to talk. I just want to rock now. All right, back after this, here's Faith No More. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio, the best damn station you've ever heard in your life. Stay there.